You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 20th, 2022, so President Joe Biden is not going to issue an executive order, an emergency climate order, not yet, but they're still dancing around that proposition, just like a dancer on a pole, not sure what angle best to present themselves, but he is up in trying to talk more need for climate change and get rid of the coal industry. The White House says he's going to continue to tackle the climate crisis. And during the campaign, of course, you had Biden talking about we'll be rid of fossil fuels by 2035. And the White House spokes press secretary, if you can believe anything comes out of her mouth, that's if she knows, I said, I would not put in an announcement this week on a national climate emergency. Still dancing around that same pole. But Biden is offering full support for windmills. He said, I made clear to my friends up in Nantucket in that area, I don't want to hear any more things about you don't like looking at them. They're pretty. No, it ruins their view of the ocean. And among those up there is former President Obama. Now, I don't think he wants a windmill out there in front of his multi-million dollar home, Maryland, up in the ritzy areas of Martha's Vineyard. In the meantime, a bipartisan group of senators reaching a deal to make it harder to overturn a certified presidential election, claiming that that's what Trump was in the process of doing. He was not doing that. But they will do some things that might be worthy. I say might. I haven't seen them in full detail. One would modernize and overhaul the Electoral Count Act. All right, if that gets rid of any confusion over how Congress counts Electoral College votes, let's go ahead and do that. But don't get rid of the Electoral College. It's part of the Constitution in electing a president. Hillary Clinton wanted to get rid of it, remember? Still does. Think she should be president. The second bill, improve election security. I'm for that. And increase federal penalties for anyone who threatens or intimidates election officials or does cheat an election. I am in favor of that. Biden, of course, continued to remain under pressure that you're going to have to do something to make sure that Republicans don't get another foothold come the 2020 election, so that's why they're still pushing. If you've got any, you need to come up with a climate energy emergency act. And his own White House energy advisor appearing on Fox Channel the other day said, coal is the most damaging fossil fuel of all. But he was questioned, saying, well, you need coal to produce electricity. And if you're not going to use oil and gas, you need the coal. Well, they don't have an answer. We'll get into that in the next segment with Transportation Secretary Buttigieg, who has no idea of how and where electricity comes from. Russian President Putin could be facing another war front, this time on his own turf. See, he brought in the Chechens to help him in the battle with Ukraine. The Chechens had been against the Russians. Now they're working with them. And now, according to a spokesman for a Chechen battalion, we know where the Russian positions are. They might decide, while Russia is being distracted, maybe it's time for us to take over Russia or parts of it. And AOC, of course, handcuffed yesterday, supposedly, being escorted away by guards because she and the rest of the protesters would not get out of the street in front of the Supreme Court building when they were told you can peacefully assemble on the sidewalk, but you can't block traffic. Well, they refused to move. That's what they wanted. They got arrested. She walks away with her hands behind her back like she's handcuffed when she wasn't handcuffed, even raises her fist at one time, showing she's not handcuffed, then puts her hands back behind that. It was a show. But AOC has an answer now. She has an answer for those who are criticizing. She said, I put my hands behind the back because that's a good way to avoid escalating the situation. You could have avoided escalating the situation by getting your damn butt on the sidewalk.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Of course, the more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles. Of course, the more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles. Of course, the more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas,
the more benefit there is for those who can access.
Yeah, and then you run out of power and your electric car is dead in the middle of nowhere. Oh, there's a gas station nearby, but your electric car won't run on gas. That's Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary, appearing in front of Congress yesterday, and he made it very clear. He said exactly what the Biden administration is all about, what I've told you repeatedly. The gas price hikes are not just incidental, and the accompanying food price increases will come 2-3 months down the road because of the gas price increases. All a plan to make you suffer if you want to survive on gas vehicles. And as Buttigieg said, we butted it three times together and then had some fun with it at the end. Mark took care of that, and I loved it, Mark. Great idea. We've got Buttigieg saying, of course, the bigger price we're going to pay if you're going to stay with gas instead of using electric vehicles. In other words, we're going to make you suffer. We're going to make you suffer because you won't go all electric. I question, Transportation Secretary, where do you get the electricity? Is it just lying on the ground somewhere and you pick it up and put it in your car? Well, how do you do that? Or do you have power lines coming to your house, and where do they start? Do they start somewhere tied to a fish in an aquarium? We use oil, gas, coal to help produce electricity. 50% of the power in this nation is through coal. And oil and gas, of course, are used in various ways as well, not only to power vehicles, but to make numerous products. Same thing with coal. It is not just for heating and running and creating power. There are numerous byproducts, everything from makeup, as it is with gas and oil, to other items that we use on a constant basis. They're not thinking about taking away everything like that. I mean, they might as well move to Iran, where they don't have that power, electricity. They don't have that. Is a third world concern for them, that is for sure. Now, they say they're building a nuclear power plant to take their people out of the Stone Age, when we really know what they're doing is trying to build a nuclear weapon. So the people still are not going to do any better than what they are right now. But during the hearing, there was a clear example of how much or how little the transportation secretary understands about electricity, and especially if you're going to push everyone get an electric car. The question came from a member of the panel that he's appearing in front of, and the question was simple enough, but Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary, apparently never even thought of the question because he was nowhere near coming up with an answer. Well, Congressman Thomas Massie did have not only the question, but he also had the answer.
The average household uses 17% of their electricity for air conditioning. And that would mean the average household uses 1,870 kilowatt hours per year for air conditioning. If that average household plugged in electric cars, do you know how much more electricity they would use in comparison to the air conditioning that air conditions their whole house?
No, but again, I would emphasize it will be less.
Let me help you with that first before we go on, because the numbers are important. It would take four times as much electricity to charge the average household's cars as the average household uses on air conditioning. Do you think that could be? So if we reach the goal by 2030 that Biden has of 50% adoption instead of 100% adoption, that means the average household would use twice as much electricity charging one of their cars as they would use for all of the air conditioning that they use for the entire year.
Yeah, but Buttigieg wanted to quickly shift the subject. But the point is very clear. And that's just one car. How many people do you have, and your family probably included? You have a car, the spouse has a car, one of the kids or more of the kids have a car. You won't be able to pay your electric bill. Even if they gave you the electric car, which they're not going to, you're not going to be able to pay for it. You're going to rely on solar power from those solar panels on your house? Well, in California, they're realizing now, after 25 years, the panels are useless. We need to get rid of them, and they're too dangerous to put in the earth. We don't know what we're going to do about those. It's a green pie in the sky dream, as I've described it from the beginning. But it's really a nightmare if they get their way through. Biden today backed away from producing and declaring an emergency climate order. The White House was hinting yesterday that he was going to. Now today, while he's visiting in Somerset, Massachusetts, talking about the climate change issues at a former Brayton power plant, one of the largest coal-burning power stations on the East Coast, which was shut down in 2017, cooling towers destroyed in 2019. I said he did that yesterday, but the whole idea was to push again. We need more offshore wind industry. And then he complained to my friends who live up here in Nantucket, and you don't want solar windmills out in the ocean. They ruin your view. That's just going to be tough luck. You'll just have to learn to live with it. Well, I will guarantee you there's some Democrats with some very fancy, expensive homes in that region. They're thinking, we don't have to live with that. But again, it's just Biden's latest attempt to prove to the radical left, oh, I'm taking climate change seriously. So the White House saying today, do not expect an emergency declaration from the president this week. Doesn't mean there's not going to be one coming. As I said earlier, it's kind of like the girl on the pole doing the dance. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you say, what the hell? But anyway, when she's on the pole, different positions, different angles, trying to get your eye and your attention and your money, this is what this Biden administration is doing. A pole dance, and they have no idea how they got on the pole or how to get off of it, but they know if they can just get their hands into your pockets one way or the other. When you look at what the efforts by the Green Pie in the Sky group and the radical left want to do, it is not just fuel, gas for your car. Diesel, of course, for trucks is very big. Diesel is big on for farmers. All of those are essential for helping fertilizer. And if the price of fertilizer is too expensive, farmers can't grow as much and they can't produce as much crop. We're already threatened with a world famine crisis in various parts of the world that might spread across the globe because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which is a major source of grain for that part of the world. And if American farmers can't do what they do best because they're restricted by this government, you will see your food prices go up in the next 3 to 4 months. Mark my words. That's what the experts are saying. Not my opinion. That's what the experts are saying. But Congressman Bruce Westerman, Republican of Arkansas, said if they are trying to find a real climate emergency, well, they don't understand what a real emergency is.
It is an emergency. What's happening to it with inflation and with prices in our country, and energy is at the root of that. And when the word climate comes out of Biden's mouth, that basically means another attack on domestic energy. We have the energy here that we should be producing, creating American jobs. And I'm afraid another Biden climate emergency is going to mean higher prices at the pump.
Higher prices at the pump. But that's okay. They don't have a problem with that because their whole point is we want you to feel pain at the pump. And we want you to suffer. Let's go back again to Congressman Bruce Westerman, a Republican of Arkansas, that tried to put all this in perspective beyond just what you see at the pump and thinking your life revolves around that gas pump in your car and getting your kids to or from a place. And that's pretty much where you think it all ends. It does not even begin to tell the story.
And I'm afraid another Biden climate emergency is going to mean higher prices at the pump. It's going to mean higher food costs. I was listening to the comments about the inputs and the raising chicken. We grow a lot of chicken in my district in Arkansas. And even as you see nitrogen fertilizer cost increase, that translates into an increased cost in grains that go into feeding all kinds of animals. So
yeah.
I don't think we've seen the beginning of the pressure on food prices with drought, with reduction in planted lands because of input costs. There are a lot of things working in the opposite favor of lowering food costs. Energy's right there with it.
It is a ripple effect that soon becomes a tsunami. They want to get rid of oil and gas. Only about 20 gallons come out of a barrel of gas, or rather out of a barrel of oil, for actual gas. Another 16% or so or less for diesel fuel. About 6% for aviation fuel, which means you're not going to have the jets flying here and to. That means you, John Kerry, are you listening? Might as well park the jet or try to sell it while it's at a high point, maybe. And then when it comes to shutting down coal, they're shutting down again another use to generate electricity. Power plants using coal produce more than half of the power we use in this nation. Coal plants. A stove uses about a ton of coal a year just for the electricity if it's an electric stove. Oh, I don't have an electric stove, Larry. I have a gas stove. Well, then you also have another issue because they want to shut down that exploration for gas as well. A water heater You have a water heater, right? It uses about 2 tons of coal a year. Unless you shut it off and you're ready to just go with cold baths the rest of your life. These folks that are overseeing all of this, that are pushing the agenda, they will be living high and mighty. You will be groveling along the ground for whatever crumbs fall from their plates. I've got a guess coming up later about how the transportation secretary definitely wants you to suffer. Tristan Justice with the Federalist. I want you to hear from him. But I want to take a break here on that subject because the trial is underway involving the murder of Officer Dorn, David Dorn, who was shot during the Ferguson riots that followed. His wife, Ann Dorn, has also been with police for decades. Between the two of them, 35, 45 years, I think. He's a black man. She's a white woman. But they were in love. And yet I will still see, I have no doubt, that some of the ardent Black Lives Matter woke culture activists will call this woman a racist, even though she was married to a black man. When you hear what she has to say about the trial and how it's going to be unveiling things that we all know exist, they'll end up calling her a racist. You watch. How the verdict will go, I don't know. But I do know how the left plays its game. And they like to blame people for anything and everything, but not themselves. That story coming up.
You know, it's the woke community that is funding them, not only just these corporations, but celebrities and athletes across the country are funding them, just blindly funding this misguided agenda. Now having to sit through a trial of a man who's accused of killing my husband when the riot was funded and organized by Black Lives Matter and all these woke corporations.
Those are the words of Ann Dorn. Her husband was a retired police officer at the time he was killed, David Dorn, during a riot in 2020. This was, of course, following the Michael Ferguson shooting, Michael Brown shooting, I should say, in Ferguson. The prosecution has now rested. I'm looking to see if there's any update on it, and at this point, I just simply see they have had their closing remarks earlier today. And we're waiting for the jury of 9 men and 3 women. They began deliberations maybe almost 2 hours ago, but so far nothing come out of the court. Now, she was also a police officer. Between the two of them, they probably had 30 plus 45 years in police. They took on the job not to get rich, but because they cared about the community and they felt a calling. Like someone feels a calling to be a pediatric nurse or a priest. They felt a calling and they stepped forward and did it, stood in the gap. Dorn already retired, but he was working part-time security for a pawn shop operator and said, "Hey, David, I think they may be trying to go into my pawn shop. They're looting and everything and there aren't enough police." And he said, "I'll go down and take care of it." Well, he goes down to protect the pawn shop. And looters, because it had everything to do with justice for Michael Brown, my arse, it had nothing to do with justice, because you saw a chance to make some quick money and carry out carnage and violence that had nothing to do with any kind of justice. They go in and they see Dorn and shots are at fire. In fact, let me read the report from the autopsy. This is tough to hear, but imagine being the wife or spouse or a friend of someone that you had to sit there and hear the same thing. The medical examiner said Dorn was shot 4 times in the chest, the thigh, the upper body. And a fatal blow to the chest didn't have the correct characteristics of a high-velocity round like a rifle. The prosecutor asked, so is it your opinion he died instantly? The medical examiner said he did not. In other words, he suffered during that time while they continued to rob and take off with what they could. And Ann Dorn, having to sit there and hear all of this, says, aside from who pulled the trigger, you have others to blame.
Black Lives Matter called for the death of police, and nobody's done anything about it. You know, defund, demean, and kill police officers across the country, and we're the enemy now when we're not. It's, you know, there's other factors involved, but we seem to, you know, the police seem to be the easy target, and nobody's standing up for their rights.
Nobody's standing up for the rights of them. David Dorn shot dead at 77 years of age, responding to a burglar alarm at the jewelry store of a friend. And when the looters broke in around 2 a.m., he confronted them, and he was shot. Now, among those witnesses testifying, they've been changing. They apparently were not going to stand with the guy that did the shooting. They're suspecting a .22 caliber pistol might have been involved. There are other weapons that they confiscated. But getting back to the real issue here, and she's right, Black Lives Matter activists were calling for violence. They didn't try to shut it down. And you have members of Congress, even including Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters, saying, well, people are upset. They're going to do what they're going to do. You contrast that to January 6th. You tell me where there's any kind of intersection that makes sense. All right, coming back, let's go to Tristan Justice of the Federalist on Pete Buttigieg saying, we want to make you suffer if you don't get rid of your gas vehicle.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So earlier we were talking about Transportation Secretary Buttigieg appearing in front of Congress. And after he testified, one of the congressmen said, so you're saying the more pain we have, the more benefit we're going to get? I think that's what I heard you say. Buttigieg said, no, I didn't say that. Yeah, he did. He definitely did. He said, the more pressure and pain we have using gas, if we get our hands on electric vehicles, it will all go away. It would be better. Of course, he's not explaining where electricity comes from because he doesn't know. My guest is Tristan Justice with the Federalist. Welcome aboard, Tristan. Glad to have you again.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm looking at the headline yourself. Your headline says everything I just said. Pete Buttigieg wants you to pay higher gas prices to lower the price of his electric car. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg testified before the House Committee on Infrastructure and Transportation Tuesday, where he really said the quiet part out loud, if official was ever going to do it. He said, quote, "The more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles," end quote. Mm-hmm. And of course, his security detail has an electric vehicle. And so they really said the quiet part out loud here, where high energy prices, high gas prices in particular, are really just an instrument of social engineering to push Americans into buying incredibly expensive electric vehicles, and really to raise the appetite for electric vehicles so people will push pressure on their elected officials to pass government subsidies for these prohibitively expensive vehicles to bring the price down so that the elites can afford these $56,000 cars.
All right, so before we continue, I'm going to ask Mark to bring up the Pete Buttigieg statement. We're just going to play one time. We put it together in a collection of bites, but let's let the audience that had missed it in our previous segments hear him say exactly what you just said he said.
"Of course, the more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles. Of course, the more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles. Of course, the more pain
okay,
we are all
okay,
experiencing
that's it,
from
that's
the
it,
high
that's
price
it.
Of gas."
We butted it together several times, but just reemphasizing, it's exactly what he said. And then he can sit there with a straight face and say, "That's not what I said." How the hell do you do that?
It was interesting to watch the hearing yesterday. He got red in the face when the congressman, I think, was in a little bit of disbelief that he actually said that. Congressman Jimenez came out and said, "So you're saying the more pain you have, the more benefit you're going to get?" And the transportation secretary immediately got red. You could see the people behind them were smirking, and they knew they got caught red-handed. And of course, the transportation secretary went on CNBC this morning and talked about how he's amazed at the reluctance of the American public to embrace prohibitively expensive vehicles in the form of electric vehicles. And of course, I mean, let's go back to the premise that electric vehicles are so much better than for the environment. You have to look at the totality of what goes into making these cars. Not only is the mining process for these vehicles extensive and horribly, creates horrible pollution when done in other countries because they don't have the same environmental standards that we have, but also look at the back end power. These cars are disproportionately fueled on fossil fuels at the end, considering 80% of the American power grid is still powered by fossil fuels, coal and natural gas. And so these electric vehicles, they're not run on solar, they're not run on wind power, they're run on the power grid, which is still dependent on fossil fuels.
Oh my God, you just gave me an idea. Okay, we're not going to use solar, we're not going to use wind. We put pedals in each of them, so we will pedal them around like we did when we were kids. That'll do it, right?
Yeah. I think we'd be a lot healthier if we did that.
You're right
about
that.
In a nation where 70% of the country is actually overweight by CDC standards, I don't totally oppose Americans biking a little bit.
Well, of course, you can also get a bicycle, but then I don't know how you're going to take the whole family on vacation. That's going to be looked up. But it's also said that if the battery on your EV goes, it's cheaper to buy a new car than try to replace the battery. And the batteries aren't going to last, what, 6-7 years max?
Yeah, electric car batteries. If your battery goes out, the standard replacement can cost anywhere up to $20,000 for a single battery. I mean, you can still buy, even with inflation, you can buy a nice used car for that money. And so electric vehicles, the reality is, they're still prohibitively expensive for a vast majority of Americans. The only people who can afford them, even if we were to heavily subsidize them, are still going to be the 1%, including Pete Buttigieg. And it really just highlights how out of touch this administration's energy policy.
Well, one other point I'd made on that, I mean, of course, that's getting rid of gas and oil, and they forget about all the other products that come from that. But among them would be aviation fuel, which means the John Kerry's of the world won't have their jets to fly all over the world. There won't be any aviation fuel being produced.
Absolutely. And Gina McCarthy, the White House climate advisor, came out today and said, we are absolutely committed to doing everything we can to entirely eliminate fossil fuels. I mean, look, you can't run an airplane on solar panels. I mean, not the planes we have today. Unless we really embrace nuclear power on the power grid, wind and solar cannot provide the capacity that we've become dependent on fossil fuels for, and that's actually enabled us to adapt for changing weather events. I mean, you're seeing all these issues play out in Western Europe, Texas, and California today with rolling blackouts because, disproportionately trying to replace reliable conventional sources of fuel and fossil fuels with unreliable solar power. It can't ramp up capacity generation that we need in events like heat waves and cold snaps.
You're listening to Tristan Justice with The Federalist. Since you mentioned a spokesman from the White House in their statement, White House Senior Energy Advisor Hochstein was appearing on Neil Cavuto, and he was trying to say that we want to get rid of fossil fuel, coal. It's the most damaging of all. Cavuto said, look at Germany. They're going knee-deep back into it because they need it. And he said, we don't need to make that mistake. Cavuto said, well, why would coal be a mistake if you combine it with natural gas? If you get rid of both, as he said, you're in a pickle. Well, of course, they don't want either of it. They don't want natural gas. They don't want coal. They don't want oil. They want nothing except for us to suffer.
Well, we could phase out all of that if we were to just embrace nuclear power. But instead, Germany went the opposite direction and phased out all of their nuclear plants with no plans to bring them back online. So I think one of the most devastating things for the civilized world has been to turn its back on nuclear power. It's emission free, it's reliable power, and it can provide it can fill in the gaps in energy generation, electricity generation, when other sources such as wind and solar fail. And so,
but nuclear power amounts what, maybe 3% max? Is that what it is?
Nuclear power is 20% of the U.S. power grid. The Energy Information Administration predicts that number is going to stay stable for the next few decades. And really, the regulatory regime is by now way too thick to bring new power plants online. What we have to do is, if we really want to embrace nuclear power to fundamentally change the power grid and continue to reduce emissions, we've got to tackle the regulatory regime that's just made it prohibitively expensive for Wall Street to really even consider pouring billions and billions.
I think that might have been where I got the 3% looking into the future. That would be reduced to 3%, and it's not going to work. One other quick thing here is how they try to make the spin that Buttigieg is suggesting or stating. American-made domestic clean energy production, of course, after Biden pleading with Saudi Arabia to ramp up oil production. But he's also saying that high gas prices are an instrument of social engineering, as if what they're proposing isn't, but high gas prices are an instrument of social engineering to raise American appetite for alternatives. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, that's essentially what he said, right? I mean, he said high gas price. I mean, it's always been part of the, it's always been part of the plan. When policymakers want to discourage a certain behavior among the public, they raise the pain and cost of engaging in that behavior. Smoking is a perfect example of this. When policymakers wanted to reduce smoking, they would raise taxes and make it more expensive for smokers to smoke. It's the same concept here. You want to eliminate the use of fossil fuels and discourage that behavior, so you amp up the pain of engaging in that behavior, and that is higher energy prices.
You're also going to ramp up the pain of starvation because diesel tractors and farmers, they're not going to be able to do as well as they have been. I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us today, Tristan.
Thank you for having me.
I'm sorry if we used up too much electricity in our conversation here.
I'm sure you'll get a coupon for it.
I'll count on that. Tristan Justice.
Carbon coupon.
Carbon coupon. Perfect example. Tristan Justice with The Federalist. As he said with the article, Pete Buttigieg wants you to pay higher prices, gas prices, to lower the price on his electric car. Those electric cars, that's something else that we didn't get into, Tristan. He points out in his article that, again, these cars and the cost they are now, and as he said, just replacing the battery is going to be, $20,000 or so. There is no emergency needed at this time. That's why probably Biden White House saying, I don't know if we can make this case. They can't, but they will try. You watch. All right, coming up, I want to go back into something that they've tried to, the left has been trying to say, this was wrong. A guy carried a gun into a shopping mall and killed a man. They're ignoring the fact as to why he killed the man and how many lives you might have saved. Let's get into that story and also some other things that will I would think, might shock you.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Brooklyn Public Library is holding a campaign called Books Unbanned. It wants to give teenagers access to books that showcase pornographic material. They're putting it right out there. It's got to be inside the building and available either there, or they can also do it online, containing sexually graphic, explicit content. Now, the library obviously is paid for by taxpayer money. I think we'll see if they continue to let that happen or not. They have in the past allowed a drag queen makeup tutorial intended for minors. Then we got a psychology teacher in Arizona Scottsdale Unified School District. Hear this, hear this. Shake your head along with me. This teacher is telling students that only 4% of men and 2% of women are exclusively heterosexual. In other words, 96% of men engage in sex with other men, and 98% of women engage in sex with other women. And they also, according to his presentation, the order of birth could be part of determining the likelihood that males are born homosexual, with the chances of each successive male being increased by one-third. I'm looking over this. They've got some things they cite in here as a possible resource. I'm not even going to bother. It's a piece of CRAP. If you don't know how to spell it, you do need help. So today, speaking before the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Highland Park mayor suggesting an armed citizen, if they had engaged a July 4th parade attacker, would have meant more carnage. Remember that July 4th parade? Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, said some states allow people to carry guns without any training. So maybe they would shoot and kill an innocent person. I want to agree with Durbin on that point. And I think it's wrong for you to be able to carry if you don't have some kind of training. But even professionally trained police and military are involved in friendly fire incidents where they shoot, wound, and kill innocents or even fellow police and or soldiers. In the fog of the battle, in the moment, things can go haywire. But again, they're insisting that there's no way this guy could have been stopped. Well, they don't know that. They don't know that, but they're going to go with it because it meets their narrative. Contrast that narrative with facts, at least in this case. Police say the guy that neutralized the man who showed up at the Indiana Mall this last weekend took just 15 seconds to take the man down. They say that many more would have died if not for that responsible armed citizen who took action. And they said within 2 minutes of the shooting. Now, the 2 minutes includes him trying to get to the gunman. The gunman was armed with two rifles, a Glock pistol carrying at least 100 rounds of ammunition. He killed three, but the young man, Elijah Dickin, was trying to close a distance on the shooter, waving for bystanders to go ahead and go behind me. Go ahead and get out of the way so he would have a clear shot. And then once he began shooting, he took him down in 15 seconds. The reference to 2 minutes is how long it took him to get through the crowd of the folks rushing away from the carnage, to get through them and get to the gunman. But then once he opened fire, took him down in 15 minutes. Preliminary report indicates that Dickin only missed the shooter twice. They don't say on here how far the distance was. Most shootings take place within an 8 to 12 foot, 12 yard, I should say, max, sometimes 15 if it's a pistol. It can be greater, but that means he fired 10 shots and 8 of the shots struck the gunman. And the gunman ceased shooting. In other words, Dickin unloaded the mag he had in his pistol, missing only twice. We don't know in what order he missed, what order he hit. Now, I will tell you now, this went down as the way it should. It could have gone bad. He could have also hit someone innocent. But he didn't. But for the left to just flatly say that if a gunman had been at the scene of that parade in Highland Park, then they couldn't have stopped that shooter, they don't know that. They just make it up. Same thing that if we had police break into that door at Uvalde School and start firing into that classroom, hopefully they would not hit anyone but the gunman. We don't know, but at least they would have saved kids. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.